Are you ready to step into your power? If so, I want to tell you about my brand new one-to-one mentorship program, Powerhouse. Power stands for productivity, organization, wealth, energy, and relationships. The five things that I teach my clients to help them step into their fullest potential. So if you are tired of playing small, ready for change, and want to excel in these five areas, go to jenniferfordberry.com and sign up for a free application call to see if you are ready to be a powerhouse.
Welcome to the Make Room Show, formerly titled The 29-Minute Mom. I am your host, Jennifer Fordberry, certified professional organizer, best-selling author, and coach. I've spent the last two decades teaching women how to get organized so that they can free up more space, time, energy, and money. This podcast is for the woman who wants to make room in her home and in her life for the people and the things that matter the most. Each week, I am bringing you episodes that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more inspired to create the life that you deserve. So come on, girl, let's do this together.
Welcome back to the Make Room Show. It is a brand new year, 2024. I personally am super excited for a new, fresh chapter in my life. I hope you are too. And this episode today is going to help you focus on clearing away the clutter in your friendships. If you need to like sweep up some stuff and clean up some stuff in 2024 when it comes to friendships, if you ended 2023 kind of questioning some friendships in your life, then this is the show for you. And I am so happy to introduce you. They've been on the show before, but I'm welcoming them back again. My good friends, Amy DeBruck and Lori Beth Aldridge.
Aloha.
Hello, Jennifer. We're excited to be back.
Totally.
So just as a little bit of backstory, so you all know that are listening, if you haven't been introduced to my two friends before, you have to know, since we're talking about friendship today, that this did not start out as a friendship. This started kind of as a business transaction. What, girls, 3 years ago?
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. I want to say a little longer, but yeah.
Yeah. Roughly 3 years ago, you were both guests on my podcast at different times. I was looking to add women to a mastermind group. I reached out to you. We started meeting once a month in a mastermind. And next thing you know, we just have become such close friends. We started the Focus Retreat last year in Kentucky. We all stayed at Amy's Lake House. And we were like three girls in high school at a pajama party when we got there, because we literally talk on Voxer every day of our life. And so now at this point, I talk to you girls more than I talk to anybody on the planet. maybe except I don't even know. I might talk to you guys more than my kids at this point.
Yes, I think Voxer kind of lends itself to having that easy accessibility. So when we're always in an ongoing conversation, it's just like the conversation never ends. It's like, oh, I'm back today. And oh, I went to bed, but let me go back and listen. And yeah.
I mean, it's just so funny. So because we started out talking about business and helping each other with our businesses, we're all coaches, we're all entrepreneurs. We all, you girls have your own podcast. So before I really get into it, I kind of just want to like refresh everybody. Just go ahead and let everybody know. You can start, Lori Beth, you know, what you do with your individual business. And then we'll go into our fun, juicy topic of today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Lori Beth Aldridge. I live in the very currently cold state of Idaho, and it's so fun. But I lived on Maui for a really long time, almost two decades. And that's where I started the Elevating Motherhood podcast. I just wanted to create resources for moms because I realized that a lot of us were lacking in confidence as a result of the toxic messaging about motherhood and our American culture. And I just wanted moms to feel more confident. And I realized the path to that was resources and perspective. And so I started the Elevating Motherhood podcast. I also have four children, and I've been homeschooling for nearly 20 years. And I decided to start offshoot, if you will, of Elevating Motherhood and created the Elevating Homeschool Community. So that is a membership so I can support and resource homeschool moms so that they can find their confidence on their homeschool journey. So those are like the two things that I do right now, the podcast and then the homeschool support membership.
I love it. What about you, Amy?
Well, I'm Amy Debrick, and Jennifer and I are both East Coasters. So I'm in Central New York most of the year. And then in the summer, I am in Kentucky, where we hosted the first focus retreat. But I started as an author, published author. And then from there, that book Embolden really lended itself to people asking about confidence and was I always confident and courage and all of that, of course, as a faith-based perspective. And so that really lended itself to doing coaching women in confidence and what that would look like in their lives. And then really just in the last 6 months, an expansion to offer women the opportunity to get their people in a retreat setting, if you're not going to our retreat, but something where they can gather with their people and kind of speak life or coaches or businesswomen into them in Kentucky at the Lake House. So those are the things that I have going on. But similar to Lori Beth, I'm a mom of four. And I think that mothering, parenting just doesn't age out. You know, most of mine are out of the nest. But I was just on the phone with my 22-year-old son last night for 45 minutes, and I consider that a gift when they still want your advice, whether they take it as a whole other animal. But the fact that they even, you know, initiate that, I consider that being a mom and wife as my top priority and most treasured role for sure.
I love that. And that's a lot of, I think, where our friendship started is we had so many similarities, you know, writing books, speaking, running communities, live events, you know, coaching, but at the core, our values are all very similar. Mm-hmm. And we have had some deep, deep conversations over the past few years. I think what was just such a joy was meeting in person, because this friendship grew over technology. We had never even seen each other face to face until gearing up for the focus retreat. Amy and I met in New York a couple of times that summer. And then Lori Beth, we got to meet you face to face in September. And it's like, that part just threw me, like becoming friends over Zoom like this, our monthly meetings, or Voxer, and then turning it into like a face to face sleepover for several days was just such a gift. And we learned so much more about each other that we didn't even know. And then we laughed. We stayed up like schoolgirls way too late, and we'd have to get up and speak. And we were like, maybe speaking and at the crack of dawn is not a good idea when we can't get ourselves to bed on time. So we've learned. Next year at the Focus Retreat, maybe we'll have a better schedule for that late night chat.
Awesome.
So one of the things that we have kind of talked about a lot lately is this concept of transactional versus transformational friendships. Mm-hmm. And we have all kind of been going through some seasons of friendships changing in our lives and looking to each other for some advice or clarification, which lends itself to long, in-depth conversations, which we tend to like to do. We like to go pretty deep with each other. And we're pretty blunt, which I think is rare and refreshing. So I really wanted to have you guys to come on, because I feel like other women, like we have each other and mm-hmm. we are already our coaches. So we're constantly getting three different points of view from three different coaches every day of our lives. But a lot of women out there don't have this kind of circle. So I really wanted to dive mm-hmm. in, because I think it's important to validate other women's feelings. So my first question is going to be, what do you think is the difference between a transactional friendship and a transformational friendship? Let's start with you, Lori Beth.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that, and I'm going to tackle this from the lens of hospitality, because that's something that's very important to me. It's something that I value, and I feel like if we can look at friendships through the lens of hospitality. Not only are we being hosted by our friends, but are we also being a good host as well? And if you're trying to figure out if a friendship is transactional or transformational, I think you can think of it this way. When you are in that person's presence, does it feel like you have been invited into their home that is set up and welcoming for guests? Are you invited to sit at their kitchen table? Are you invited to sit on their couch and sit down and have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and chat? Do you feel like you can relax and be yourself? Does it feel stuffy, like you're sitting, or should you be sitting on this couch? Are you holding the tea mug right? I like houses where I can accidentally find myself with my feet up on the couch and be like, oh, shoot, sorry, should I be that informal? I like where the boundary is still respectful and we're getting to know each other, or we know each other really well and we're just comfortable in each other's presence. And those are my transformational friendships, the ones where I feel welcome in their home. And by their home, I mean, just in their presence. Or if it's a transactional relationship, I am invited to sit on a couch that feels like a stuffy, stiff couch in a sales room at a car lot. Like, both acts are sitting on couches in the presence of the other person. But if you are sitting on a couch at a used car lot, they're trying to sell you something, and that pressure is just there. Now, if you need to have a transaction with them, a business transaction with them, we need transactional relationships. We need networking to a certain degree, but I also think that we absolutely need community, and community is made around the kitchen table, not in the lobby of a car sales lot, if that makes sense.
Good. Good comparison.
So Laurie Beth, when are you talking about like when you're able to swing on the porch with your feet up and yes, we're all exactly. laying on top of you, that kind of transformation?
Yeah, well, I'm nursing my kid to sleep and my other kids might be running around.
And we're all
yeah.
trying to snuggle with Laurie Beth while she's getting all that done. But that's a podcast for another day, I think.
Totally normal.
Awesome. Well, I'm approaching this topic from first, let me just say the idea that I think that you can have transformational friendships and having just also be in a different season where it might not feel like it at that moment. One of my very best friends, we're just in two different seasons of life. My kids are almost out of the house. She has a 7-8-year-old. And so the relationship at its core is transformational always, but we're in a different season. So sometimes it can seem transactional, but at the core, and you know who those people are, that they're not going anywhere. But to me, that snapshot really kind of like, how can I gauge what type of friendship it is? For me, it's always been a matter of maybe loyalty. So transactional friends to me are the friends like you're talking about, Laurie Beth, that are, we're all in the same room together, but not everybody's in your corner. And so that's kind of how I visualize that. We have a lot of times where, especially over the holiday, right, where we're gathering with lots of people, but there's only one or two that are actually in your corner. And so I think to me, that's my quick distinction of who's transactional and who's really transformational. And I think the transactional typically in my life have always, sometimes just it's a matter of more of just an acquaintance status in general. But a lot of times I think I can have that differential because they lack a reliability that I would count on or just expect from somebody in a transformational relationship. It's not about focusing on their political views or their status. It's just, they're kind of like in it for the long haul, the transformational friends, and transactional is kind of like, how can I benefit from this? And if I can't, I'm kind of on to the next person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And at this age, we've talked about that, how we don't like to waste time. So I feel like as I'm getting older, I'm more apt to move on than I was when I was younger. For me, I really relish time in my life. It's something that I obviously teach on, but I also just prioritize it. And I'm very strict with the boundaries around my time. And I think that has a lot to do with the difference between transactional and transformational. Is when I am with a friend who is transformational, I know my time with her is well spent. I know that every time I'm with her, I'm evolving. I'm true to myself. I'm growing, and I'm not trying to be somebody else. I'm not worried about putting on a facade or measuring up. It's just my true core self showing up. And right. I mean, quite frankly, that's what we've done for each other. And that's been such a gift to just show up raw. And I mean, truly ourselves. And it's been a great example of what I'm looking for in this point in my life. And so transactional, I'll kind of start to like, there's definitely a benefit to it. I mean, there's things like where your kids go to the same school or they're on the same team and you are sitting next to each other on the bleachers every single game, chatting it up, but you don't really have time to go deep. And it serves a purpose for a season, but I don't leave a conversation like that. I don't leave a transactional friendship and feel like, wow, that was so worth my time. Or it was just so, it was so powerful. I really do look for relationships that are transformational because I am one of those people that I can chit chat and small talk with the best of them, but it doesn't light me up. Deep conversations light me up. And I'm okay with that. You know, and I appreciate a woman that can be deep and raw and authentic. I see that very quickly in people. And I'm like, wow, I love that about her. And then you have the people that there's a little bit of a fence and you're not, mm-hmm. you're going to get asked to come to the gate, but you're not going to come through the gate. And that's kind of boring, right? So transactional friendships can be a little bit more boring. And they usually, for me, only last a season or two or whatever, a shorter season. But I also think that it's kind of like transactional in the form of time. If it's transactional, you're kind of keeping track of the time. Like, what am I getting mm-hmm. for my time? You know, mm-hmm. kind of like a tit for tat. I asked her to go for lunch. Did she ask me to go for lunch? You know, all those things. I invited her to my party. Did she invite me to her party? Transformational is something where like, you might not be able to do that all the time. It might not even live near them to be able to do those things. But if you need something, they're a ride or die no matter what. And I'll give you a perfect example. And you girls know this is last April, one of my closest friends, college roommate down in Florida, you know, literally sent me a text as I'm getting ready for work one morning and said, I need you. I called her. Her husband passed away and like, literally had a heart attack in his 40s. And I said, what do you need me to do? And she didn't say, oh, you know, don't worry about it. Or it's fine. She was like, no, I need you to come help me. And I was like, booking a flight right now. That's transformational. Like you don't have to, she didn't have to explain all the reasons why. It's just, I need you. And the transformational friendship, you show up. That's it. You just right. do it. And so, I think that is really, really important as far as, when you might not have the quantity of time, you still always have the quality of time. Like that's yeah. important for me because I do think, you know, that's part of my love language is quality time anyway. So mm-hmm. it's just kind of like, if I don't get enough quality time with somebody, then it's probably not going to be that transformational for me.
Mm-hmm. I like quality time too. Jennifer, I also like what you tapped into with this whole tit for tat and keeping score thing. And I wanted to provide maybe a gauge for that because women can be pretty insecure in their friendships. I really appreciate my blunt relationships too, and just like being myself. And since moving to Idaho, someone said, I really appreciate how blunt you are. You just say exactly what's on your mind. And I paused and went, oh my gosh, are we not all doing that? I thought we were all doing that. I didn't know. But it helped me see that no, not everyone is being blunt. Some people are more guarded. Some people do have fences up. Some people like barely have their gate cracked for various reasons. They're feeling insecure because of a move or insecure because of hurt in other relationships and friendships. And so this insecurity can come up. And when we're trying to gauge where we are in a friendship, are we transactional? Are we transformational? Are we showing up well? Are we not? I find that some friends can get really hung up on that of like, it has to be transformational. Here are my like you know, the checklist of points to prove to me that this is transformational or transactional. And if you are not transformational, then I will not give you quality time. I will not spend time with you. Or sometimes we will be like very tit for tat, even in a transformational relationship. So I invited you to my party. I thought we were closer than that. Why didn't I get invited to your party? You know, we all have that, myself included. But something that I've realized that's been very humbling for me in the move is that on Maui, it was all established. We were there for so long. I was a host. I could host easily. I knew where everything was. I knew where I stood in a lot of different friendships, you know, until 2020 happened, which is the case for a lot of us. And then it started to get a little crazy. And then I moved to Idaho, where I know hardly anybody. And I realized I was in a season where I needed to receive hospitality rather than being the constant giver of hospitality. And so sometimes if you're questioning your relationships and where you stand in relationships, I think it's okay to give ourselves grace and our friends grace and ask yourself, like, what season am I in? Am I in a season where there's ease and abundance and I can host more and be the more hospitable one? Or am I in a season that's very vulnerable and hard for us to admit, especially as women who can do it all, that I am in a season where I need to receive hospitality? And we're not very good at that. We can barely take a compliment without like blowing someone off, you know, shrugging it off. So for us to receive hospitality can be very challenging. So if we are looking at our friendships and kind of doing a self-reflection on it, a little bit of an analysis, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We can just maybe try to look and see, is this a season of receiving or a season of giving, or maybe a little bit of both? And that will take a lot of that worry and stress out of that, of like, am I doing enough? Am I not doing enough? Are they doing enough for me? Yada, all those questions that pop up, we can just like let those go to the wayside and focus on giving and receiving and understand that we all need grace in whichever one of those seasons we're in.
I think that's such a good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really do. Because I feel like, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk to you girls about on the show, is also what does healthy communication look like in a friendship? Because I often see a pattern of when things aren't like your BFFs and everything's perfect and you're sinking and jiving in the same season of life, that all of a sudden things change and women have a hard time like communicating about that. Like for you, Lori Beth, you to say, listen, I'm new here and I need to receive some more hospitality. This isn't normally who I am, but I'm in this season. You have to tell the friends because they don't know that, right? They don't know what you're feeling deep inside. It's just like a marriage where if we don't tell our spouse how we're feeling, they're not mind readers. So, but I feel like there's this constant or very prevalent situation where I've experienced in my life, and you can tell me if you have too, where something happens that's hard and women rather just not face it, not have the hard conversation, kind of run away and avoid it and never look back rather than talk about the tough stuff. Where when you're married, you have to keep seeing that person every day in your house and you can't avoid them. So you have to have a conversation because nobody wants to live in a house where you're in an argument. It's so uncomfortable. But with friends, you don't have to see them if you don't want to. So what does healthy communication look like? You know, I'll let you start, Amy.
I would say honesty. Mm-hmm. I would say, first and foremost, honesty. And I think that just having the ability to be honest, like this is how I've been feeling. It may not be completely accurate to what I'm, you know, my perception, but this is how I've been feeling. And I think the minute you're able to, I think it goes back to maybe being secure yourself and also having a mature friendship, is when you're able to receive that and validate somebody else, it's like, okay, even if we have this conversation and what they're thinking is not so, or maybe what they thought they heard wasn't even said, but the fact that you're validating that this is where they're at and something along the way made them feel that way, I think there's the grace, right? In being able to, that's the transformational relationship, is allowing them to say their piece and actually have a thoughtful and honest conversation about maybe where is that coming from and hearing both sides. And I think when you're able to do that, especially as adult women, I think that's the game changer. And I think those are the ride or dies, because you're able to, you know, sometimes you just, you know, you're just doing your own thing. So it's funny when you're talking about like small talk, I'm not a small talk person. I will go to my child's athletic game and sit in the far corner. That is not my sweet spot. It's just never been who I am. It's something that I'm personally just not comfortable with. It has nothing to do with the people around me who are lovely. And I know who they are. And I've talked to them many times. It's not them. It's just how where my comfort level is. I run out of things to say, or then I'll say something that I don't want to say. And so, and that's kind of been, you know, the way I run my friendship. So when we're even talking about boundaries, I'm somebody who does, I wouldn't say put up a wall, but I also have over the years, and I think the older I've gotten and the older my children have gotten, have established more boundaries that feel good and healthy for us. And so I think that's the other thing too, when you're able to have an honest conversation with women that you're close with that feel maybe like, gosh, I feel like I'm left out here, or I, you know, whatever. And you're able to express that. This is just who I am. And again, it's no slight to you. It's no slight to your worthiness of what I feel that, you know, I could say to you. It's like you said, Jennifer, it's who's the woman that's going to, you can call, or that they can call you, that's going to show up for you. And so that shouldn't be dependent on a daily conversation per se. I have a friend from high school that we see each other literally once a year. She's only like 15 minutes from me. It's comical how we just never meet up, and we literally pick up where we left off, and it's just easy. And we just, there's no expectation of, oh, she's not calling because she's must be upset about something. There's none of that. There's no reason for it. There's just a that's just the way we are. And so I think the older I've gotten, the more I appreciate, first of all, this is a tough phrase, but low maintenance relationships, because my ride or die people at this point, I feel like I am constantly in a state of growing and fine tuning my skills, my friendship skills, my communication skills, the whole gamut. But there is a point where you have to know who that person is at their core. And if I'm falling short, which I've done many times over the years, because I'm somebody who's a little more introverted, because I'm somebody who has a little bit more boundaries. But if you don't know me at my core, and you're not allowing me that grace, and I'm not allowing you that grace for maybe a misunderstanding or something, then there's a problem. So I think it also, you have to establish, you know, there's the connection with the right people, because the right people will understand that. They may be annoyed at times. We all get annoyed with each other. You know, women are tough, but you love the person. They know you love the person. And there's the opportunity, like I said, to validate their feelings when they are in a cycle or a season where they feel maybe something isn't strong enough. And having that conversation, to me, that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I think it's so important to have the conversation rather than make assumptions.
Yes.
Because absolutely. You can really get in your head with assumptions. And now you have a whole nother narrative sure. going on over here that isn't even reality.
Right.
And the other thing that's really tricky now is these phones. Any important conversation, I do not believe should be ever text. It should not come through text. There's too many ways to misinterpret. So absolutely. It has to be a face-to-face. And mm-hmm. a lot of times, you know, I've suggested this before and people kind of like bow out from it. They're like, oh yeah, I'm really busy. They don't want to do the face to face, you know? And it's like, and I just can't do a serious conversation any other way because there's too many ways that I could misinterpret.
Yeah. But that's a maturity thing, Jennifer. I really feel mm-hmm. like it is hard. And I think this technology is making it harder. I mean, I still make my kids like at Christmas time, I'm like, okay, you're not going to just call, you're not going to just text your aunts or uncles or thank them, you know, that are out of state. You're going to get on the phone, make a phone call. You're going to drive over and whatever. But yeah. I think it's just the way the world is. It makes it harder. And it is hard to see somebody face to face. Listen, I pride myself on stuffing my emotions. I don't like crying. And if I know that a conversation is going to produce tears, that's not necessarily something I want to sign up for. Do I need to do it? Absolutely. You need to do that. You need to do it for yourself, and you need to do it for the person on the other end, knowing that you care that much about them and the relationship that it's worth it. It's worth you both being uncomfortable for. And I think that's also really important. Everything can't be a highlight reel.
Mm-hmm. I hate emotions too, Amy.
Yeah.
I hate it. I said, I hate emotions too. That's why, one of the reasons why we're friends. So
I'll just cry over here and emote for the all three
of
them.
It's a really great quality. No, I'm
but sometimes you see, even if you're in a if you're like miscommunicating and you're face to face and you see that it's bothering that person, that's just enough to be like, let it go, because you just know you're still loved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Yeah. What about you, Lori Beth?
Oh man, I'm here writing down all the things, and everything that you're talking about is true. In my transformational friendships, there is an element of ease and honesty and vulnerability and maturity and bluntness. I will say the other thing that is present is listening, because as moms, as wives, we got a lot of good ideas, and we got a lot of good parenting, a lot of good schedule making, a lot of good family values to instill and in our friends. And it's so much easier to look at a situation or a friendship from the outside and be like, I know exactly what that friend needs. Yeah. She needs to learn this, or she needs to learn that, or she should try this, or she should try that. And the other day, I caught myself not listening to a friend who was trying to share something very meaningful and deep about her birth story. And I made a flippant comment, and it was the opposite, not just in a like, oh man, I wish I had had something like that. You know, she's right. Like, no, you don't actually. And let me go further. And I was like, oh man, it's time for you to stop talking, and it's time for you to start listening, because this person is trying to go deeper with you. This person is trying to be mature and process things with you and trust you enough with this information. You need to sit down and listen. And I heard a long time ago that curiosity can be a healthy expression of love. So if you are curious about somebody else and listening with curiosity, that can oftentimes communicates love to the other person that's there, either in the room or over Voxer. And I was actually thinking, I kind of wonder if the format of Voxer is very helpful in transformational relationships, because we're forced to listen so much instead of interrupting, instead of talking over, instead of any of that. Oh, we are literally forced to listen all the time. It's a listening app. You have to listen. You have to contribute and you have to listen. And that helps, because it helps you get to know that real person. It gives you the opportunity to be blunt. It gives you the opportunity to work through things. And something else you guys were talking about too, and just expectations are in check with transformational relationships. Transactional, oftentimes the expectation is there's a sale of some kind going on, or a benefit of some kind going on that's measurable and can be checked off on a box. But transformational relationships, I think expectations also need to be in check as well. And like, we mature and grow over time. And so the transformational relationships in our lives acknowledge that. So Amy, you can be friends with your friend from high school, and you guys are not the same. You don't have the expectation that you're the same people you were when you're in high school. I have a friend, Crystal, who's very much like that too. We can maintain our friendship and have it be transformational because we have transformed together as well. We anticipate that the other person has changed and matured and grown, and kind of that's our expectation of that person. And when we make room for that, it's easier for the person to express how it is they are transforming and growing and maturing as a person. But we're going to miss it if we're not listening with a certain level of curiosity.
Mm. Lori Beth, so here's something interesting when you're talking about that is years ago, and I've shared the story a few times. I don't know if it's with both of you, but I was sitting in service on a Sunday, and we've all done this, but I'm just admitting it. And you hear the sermon and it's so good. And all you're thinking about, like I was so fixated on, oh gosh, so-and-so really should be here listening to this. And in that moment, I felt that gentle nudge from God whisper in my ear, but I have you sitting here instead. And I was like, oh, really? Wow, that stings.
Are you
a
sure?
Little. Yeah, I know. Are you sure? Because I really, no. Okay. All right. Whatever. And it's so true, though. I really think that that is something that is a skill that's constantly something that needs to be polished, is listening. I never thought about that with the Voxer app. I find that so interesting, but so true.
Very interesting.
And we kind of pride ourselves on what we will actually, like, when somebody's on a rant or whatever, and maybe there's only two of us, but three of us need to listen. I'll just hear one of us say, well, okay, I'm going to check up. I'm going to listen to all of them. And then I'm going to comment later, even if they can't do it. And there is something to be said about listening. And the other thing I think too, with transactional relationships and friendships, is that I really think that adversity flushes those out rather quickly. So depending on what's going on, and a lot of times I think that has to do too with spiritual warfare, which I know we're not really getting into much today, but I think a lot of that is, you know, we can't control other people's insecurity. We can only control our own and tap into that. But I do think it's funny, this morning here we knew we were going to have this topic. And one of the things I read today was a title from a friend of mine in a blog post, and it was, "She's Not the Enemy." And so I do think that there is something to be said, even though that doesn't necessarily, it's going to change to make it a transformational relationship. But I do think that there is a lot of spiritual warfare that happens, especially among women. Everybody's in competition, you know, how are their families? How are their homes? How are their kids? And a lot of times when you are a woman who maybe is at the heightened of your insecurity or feeling the spiritual warfare and not even necessarily recognizing it, you know, you might be that mom or that woman who at the quick appearance might seem like is very excited for you or your kids, but then also equally excited if something were to happen and maybe they knocked off the pedestal that they themselves catapulted them up on. And so there's things definitely to watch, but I always say, like, adversity to me is always that quick really flush out of who's the transformational ones in your life and who's the transactional ones that maybe are dealing with some other things behind the surface.
Yeah, for sure. And you can tell when all of a sudden out of the blue, a friend is like giving you a laundry list of things that are aggravating her and you're like, something deeper is going on here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can usually tell where it's a deflection of what's going on in her personal life. But I feel like there's a lot of the same core connectors for the transformational friendships that we've all touched on. What would you say at this point in your life are the three most important things to you in a friendship? Because it changes, right? It mm-hmm. changes so much over the years.
I would say loyalty, number one, integrity.
Yeah.
And, I guess faith, mm-hmm. not necessarily that we have to be at the exact same place in our faith, but just there's a core belief that is there. There's a core foundation that there's mm-hmm. a similarity there.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I would echo that, Amy. I actually wrote down ease of similar values. And so being surrounded by women who acknowledge the spiritual in their life and acknowledge their faith and are fellow Christians, there's just a level of ease that I need in my life in this big transition from an island to the mainland and all the things that come along with that. And so I value other homeschool moms who share similar beliefs as me. There's just an ease there. And then we can go deeper on things that we connect on. I think for so long, I fell for the message and the lies of secular culture that tell you that diversity of everything is the most important thing. And there is like no ease there. There's no ease when you're trying to force all of that all the time. Yes, we are going to constantly come in contact with people who with diverse beliefs around us. Yes, we do. But I felt like ever since college, there is this pressure, immense, immense, immense pressure to tick certain boxes of you have to have all these different types of people in your life. They have to have access to your life. Like, and you have to include everything and everyone and be someone who can accommodate literally everybody all the time. And I would rather go deep with a few people than feel like I'm speaking to everybody, or I would rather let a few people into my life rather than having just everybody for the sake of inclusivity, if you will. But not real inclusivity, like our weird culture's definition of that. And so I value the ease of similar values at this moment in my life. And I also like to be surrounded by other encouragers. So I am an encourager. And when I feel encouraged back, I'm like, oh man, or just encouraged also, right? It's not tit for tat so much as like, I really appreciate other women who are also encouragers of other women. There is an ease being around them as well. And you want more of that. And then I'll just echo what we talk about all the time is how much we value maturity. Oh my gosh. Mm. Wow. The older I get, the more I value maturity. Oh, so if I sense maturity in others, I am just, I'm so grateful.
Yes.
That's true.
I agree so much with that. You can sense it so a mile away too. At this point, if you're committed as a human being to keep evolving and growing yourself, then I think it's normal to get to, you know, I've told you girls this before. I've never been as attached to things. We know this. I've always been attached to people. And I was like a collector. Like I wanted to keep this friend from childhood and then go into teenage, you know, in college, but I want to keep all of my people with me. And now I've learned that God puts people in your life at certain points because you need them. And it doesn't mean you're going to need them forever. And it's okay to outgrow people. And it's okay to realize, kind of like dating, like I've outgrown this person. I wish them well and move on because I want to keep evolving. I don't want to have to play small for someone to feel good about themselves. And I can really see that sometimes where I used to do that in order to like not make this person feel bad. I'm going to kind of downplay where I'm at. And it's just at this point, you know, again, a waste of time. So I agree with you, Amy. Loyalty has always been my number one. I'm a ride or die friend. And I really appreciate loyalty. I appreciate maturity. Like you said, Lori Beth, I also have to have trust. And I'm a type of person. And I think I had a friend when I was in high school that ruined trust for me forever, just kept lying about nonsense. And now I have like this major, like lie radar. And I feel like somebody's lying to me. I'm out. Like, I'm just out. I will shut down like a wall, not share anything, which in general, I feel like I'm pretty much like an open book. I can go deep fairly quickly and not feel guarded. But if I feel like I can't trust you, I will shut that gate hard. And then the other thing is really interesting at this point in life is it needs to be for me like a two-way street. And again, I'm relating this to marriage. It'd be like if I was doing all the work in our marriage and Josh was doing nothing, that's not okay with me. So right. Even in friendships, I think the scale doesn't have to be even. You go through seasons where I might need you more than you need me and vice versa. But if I don't feel like you're committed and you're, you know, reaching out or trying to maintain the relationship and I feel like I'm the only one, I used to be okay with that and I'm just not anymore. And I think I used to be okay with it because I'm just a natural planner and I like to plan activities and I'm extroverted and I like to be hospitable. So I'm like, oh, let's do this and this and this. But if it's like, if you're the one always doing it and the other person never does it, it's like, I've learned to take that as a sign of maybe the friendship isn't as deep as I thought and put my time into the people that really do want to, you know, deposit in. And then there's this other thing where this is like a newer, and I guess maybe it was always there. I guess it was always there. And I'm sure you both will agree with me, but we haven't said it, is you really have to like be, you don't have to like know my kids super, super well, but you've got to care about my kids. Like, you know, you've got to be like a little bit invested. And it's funny because I just saw this like quote on Instagram where it's like talking about when your friends that love your kids deeply or, you know, or something like that. And I was like, wow, those people that really care about what my kids are doing, I feel are like my closest friends. And my kids that have grown up with they call them their aunties, that are very invested in their life. they are closer with them than a lot of their own relatives because mm-hmm. they've put the time and effort. And some of those aunties don't even have their own children. Some do, but it's made a huge, they've like helped mold my kids. Mm-hmm. And I know, Lori Beth, your kids are still young. And so it's important who your kids are around. Right. And I know there's 100%. Certain things that you don't tolerate. Like you don't like your kids around drinking and people that are drunk. And it's like, that's a hard no for you. And so I just think about all the things when you're raising kids that why it's important for you to be like that is because now when you have adult kids like Amy and I, they had a part in growing your kids. It's important. So even mm-hmm. though a lot of people probably don't think about it, it's a big factor for women, I think.
Jennifer, I love that so much. And you're so spot on. And actually, one of my roles, I feel like, is to be auntie. And maybe it is like a Maui, Hawaii hangover kind of thing where everyone there is auntie and uncle, whether you're related or not. But there are special aunties and there are special uncles. And they're the ones who really pour into you, too. When we host stuff at our house, I have chills just thinking about it. I can tell you that the kids come and they walk up to me and say, hello. I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I'm mm-hmm. like, well, hello. And I call them by name. And a lot of them are like four or more kids, right? And so knowing their name in a crowd feels really important to them. And so I make sure to call them by name, ask them how they're doing. Can I, you know, and I feed them as well, you know, like it's not just making tea for my mom friend. It's also making mac and cheese for all the kids too. And they love my mac and cheese. Most of them. It's homemade organic with raw milk. Okay. So it's interesting because I've always tried to be that. And I do recognize that as part of my role in a friendship. If I have a mom friend, it's that their children matter most to them. Their family matters most to them. They're very family centered. I mean, that's part of that ease of similar values, right? It's another reason why we get along. But when I see other women who value the role of mother, they're not putting their kids down. They're not putting my kids down. They're not ignoring them. They're also not sunshine, rainbows, and puppies thinking that we're just going to always get along. There's never going to be any discomfort. Our kids are always going to get along. They're never going to fight. It's the moms that when our kids do fight or have a tiff of some kind, we love each other's kids enough that instead of blaming them and saying, well, my little sweet angel, sugar pie, pumpkin, boo-boo bear did not deserve to be smacked by your, you know, kid over there. Right. Instead, it's like, whoa, let's look at the big picture. We're all together. Like, what an awesome opportunity for us to work through this as mature adults and set the example. And instead of me immediately criminalizing somebody else's kid, I'm like, hey, this is awkward, but we're going to have to like work through this. And those are the transformational relationships, the ones that actually consider your kids as well. I love it. Every single time those little faces come through and they have brought something specifically to show me because they think I'll like it, or they've drawn me a picture or something like that. I do not take that lightly. I don't just set it to the side. I stop what I'm doing and I look at them too. And you're right. I can't wait to see how that actually translates as my kids get older. So I love hearing you talk about that, Jennifer, because yes, I didn't realize that until just today, but that is also very, very, very important.
I've actually had my daughter, now that she's an adult, say, when I'm home visiting, I want to spend time with this friend of yours or that friend, or I don't want to spend time with this friend or this friend's husband, or she's already like figured out who's who and what's going on. And it was funny because one of my best friends doesn't have kids. And she said to me the other day, she's like, it was her birthday. And she was like telling me who reached out to her. And it was like, of course, her auntie Cindy never misses a beat. And I had to tell my friend, like, cause she doesn't have her own children. Do you know that she knows you will never forget about her? And that she just appreciates that about you. And so I think that that was really cool to recognize any of these aunties that are a big part of your kid's life, letting them know how your child feels about them and how they're making a difference, because they might not realize it.
Right. Right. No, I agree. And you know, what's funny, Jennifer, and you're talking about the holidays and stuff, and you were saying how one of Bryson's friends was staying with you and all of that. And so one of the things on the Christmas party that we hosted now for years is that it was a kind of a rite of passage that when your child graduated, they were invited to come to the party. because it was just adults first, just as kind of a release, you know, because we were with our kids all the time and all of that. But once they graduated, they were invited, and it was such a big thing. You know, they would, you could hear, like, you know, Blair was the first round and her friends, and it's like, what are they going to wear? And what are they going to do? And then it was Sam and that whole crew. And it was, it is a wonderful feeling, like you said, Lori Beth, to have that full circle moment with people, with kids that actually, that you've invested in that aren't your own. And also, Jennifer, that have invested in your kids. You know, one of my closest friend, Alice, she used to have a snack drawer for when kids were over there, and they knew that that was her thing. That was her, like, affectionate, whatever, is like, okay, this is, you know, this is for welcome for all. And so kids do remember. And so I think that's interesting. My kids remember too, and they know who's made positive impacts and they know who's made just the opposite. And so it does stick. So it does make a difference who we surround ourselves with, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Amy, let me gush for just a second, because you're one of those aunties to my kids too. I can't tell you how many times my kids have been like, I really think this is a recipe that Amy would make. Or like, I really think that this is a recipe that Amy would enjoy. And it's just, it's so adorable. And I love it so much because, oh, it's such a gift to them, truly.
Well, that's nice.
I think I think that when you start to realize the payoff of raising kids, it, when you're at our age, I don't know what I just did in my hair. It's a little wacky now. you realize, and you want to tell moms of young kids, hey, just so you know, this actually pays off. And we like to tell Lori Beth all sorts of stuff that we've learned. So, but I think that now that my kids have an opinion on things, Amy, it's so funny, because when you told us that about your party, it was funny because this year was the first year Ransley was like, oh, can you wait and have your holiday party when I'm home? And it had already been planned. And I said, next year I'll do it, because now it's like, they're becoming our friends, right? Yes. They're kids. There's kids that we've watched grow up that are becoming our friends. And so I'm definitely going to take your example and use that next year and make it more of that kind of party, because that's where we are in life, where that's our priority, right? Is when my, and you guys know, I just had weeks with my kids home. It's like the world stops when they're home. That's just how we run as a family, because they're not here every day. And so it's cute when they say, oh, we want to be part of your new friend tradition, you know? Yeah. So I'm definitely doing that next year. I love it. I'm putting that on my very Christmas plan that is so many awesome things from you guys. Your recipes. Awesome.
Well, it adds a whole different level. And I will say this, you're right there. And Lori Beth, I mean, I'm not even concerned in any way, shape or form, because I almost think you're halfway there. I think you're ahead of the game, but it is such a gift when your children become your friends. And I never desired any of that. It's, I'm still, you know, I still have one at home, so we're not quite there yet. You still have to be the parent first, and I'm all on board for that role. And I never desired to have anything other than that when my kids were little. You know, I knew that what they needed and guidance and discipline and all of that, but there is something really wonderful about that experience. And so it has become, Jennifer, a highlight, I think, for Ron and I, just as much as it is for the kids to be able to come and do that and attend. Now, Addie has had the benefit of being the youngest. So
such the youngest.
She technically hasn't graduated, and she's been to the last two because of her siblings. But all that to say, watching them become best friends and then having them become a new set of our friends, I think is truly, like, that's the dream. Like, that's what you want. I mean, I feel very fortunate. And I think one of the reasons that being an introvert was easy for me personally is because I'm very close with my brother and sister, and they're the auntie and uncles. Just naturally, I really didn't have to seek out that far. Now, I do have a couple of friends that also satisfy that role, but it is a really wonderful thing when it just keeps extending and extending and extending. And yeah, watching them be a part of all of it is just the cherry on top.
Yeah. I love this full circle moment. I know, because there's so much value in us having the example of positive friendships for our kids. Yes. So they know what transformational friendships look like. And we can share that with them, not only in words and talking with them as their friend, but then also just by example too, and paving that path for them so that they can see the value of friendships and pour into them and really learn to hold on to those. I didn't have that example. So I feel like I'm forging ahead on my own, right? Trying to figure out what that looks like. And I'm willing to put in the work, and knowing that my kids are going to get so much value out of that too, totally worth it.
Yeah. It's interesting because that you said that, Lori Beth, because when you said it, it reminds me that my parents had a lot of friends and we were in tow with their kids. So, I mean, and the cool thing is we're really good friends with a lot of those kids still, now that we're all adults raising our own kids, because it started with our parents' friendship. And it's nothing, there's nothing funnier than ripping on our parents on the way they used to act when we were together. We always joke, like one of my good friends since she was born, will like to laugh about, remember when our moms would meet up for coffee and they would smoke cigarettes in the kitchen and drink coffee and they'd be like, go outside and play. Like they literally weren't entertaining us at all. They weren't setting up like a play date. It was like, they were going to meet, smoke cigarettes and have coffee. Go entertain yourselves outside. We'll call for you when we're ready to go home. And that's it. But we had the best time. It was so fun. And do you know that group of my mom's friends, still friends today?
Amazing.
Actually, one of them just passed away last year from breast cancer. And we were all devastated because she's been part of our life, our whole entire childhood. And then it's just like, I can tell story after story of friends in my childhood because of my parents. So it matters. And I always knew I wanted that for my kids. So this has been such an awesome conversation. Literally, it's been an hour and I could talk to you guys for 3 hours, but oh, don't worry. We'll just talk on Voxer the rest of the day. So
we'll just do that. We'll just listen on Voxer.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's fine. But I would say Lori Beth had a really good point. If you have a group of friends out there that are kind of spread around the country and you feel like you want to be in touch more, Voxer is beautiful because we literally, it's your own pace, convenient. It's basically an app. It's like a walkie-talkie app. You press it, you talk, and you get to hear the emotion behind. It's so much better than texting. And you get, it's, you know, it's same as voice texting if you do that, but it saves everything. You get a notification. You can turn your notifications off. You can send photos, videos. But the thing is that you do, like Lori Beth said, you have to listen. So I feel like that's why we kind of download a lot of things on there, because nobody's cutting us off, right? So it's like we're processing ourselves what we're going through. And then the other person listens and chimes in whenever they can. So I highly recommend it.
And we're wordy, so we don't want anybody to cut us off. So we just hit that app and just hold our finger down until we're
done. Until we got a cramp.
Every day, even in the bathroom.
Just be careful of where you're pressing the button.
You can upgrade if you like to delete your messages. You can upgrade, but or it's just for free if you don't care. But
guaranteed, you'll laugh a lot.
Yes. Well, thank you, girls. You know I love you both so much. I'm just thank God every day that you've been brought into my life. Our friendship is such a gift to me, and I'm so grateful for it. And I just feel like we're so similar yet different. And I learn from you girls every single day. And I just appreciate that you just love me for who I am. And I just wanted to say thank you for that.
Thank you. I feel like this is a gift. I have this conversation, the fact that we can talk every day and talk things out. So the feeling is mutual for sure.
Totally. Ditto. All the gushing. I love you guys.
Okay. Bye. And thanks everybody for listening today. If this touched you and it felt like an important conversation, I highly encourage you to share it with your girlfriends and open up the lines of communication. Maybe you're kind of in a little awkward season and a podcast like this could just get the wheels turning and the conversation started. So if you loved it, let us know in the reviews. And if you're looking for any type of coaching from Amy or Lori Beth, reach out. We'll have the links in the show notes. Until next time, make room for the people and the things that matter the most.